How many of you know your expectation is not always what God will do? Sometimes you can paint a picture that's not God's picture because God is sovereign and God doesn't follow your advice. God follows his own plan.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Cho. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. Some of you have been asking about our teaching series. Typically when I teach, I do a series of 4 to 8, 9, 10 messages, and we make those available in a cover with all the CDs, the full length of the message. So if you want to order the entire series that you hear on this radio program, then you can go to our website, www.straighttalkchicago.org, and email us ordering the series, or you can always call our telephone number at 773-585-3300 and ask for the entire series. Typically, we give the name of the series at the beginning of the message and the message title as well. That way you can listen to the entire series uninterrupted and get the full scope of that teaching. So get ready to listen and hear the word with open hearts.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we are going to continue on with Pastor Mark's message called Seven Dips Away. It's from his series called Fighting for Your Destiny. We continue on in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. We're going to be focusing on verses 1 through 27 tonight. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
I run into men that have stopped fighting for their destiny and their life, and they're passive. I can see it in their eyes. There's no fight. They're just surviving. I see women that have just accepted the circumstances. They have no vision of the future, no hope in what God will do, no fight to believe, to pray. They're just surviving. And I'm praying that as a result of what you're learning today, God is going to put a little fight, stir a fight back in your soul for those of you that have stopped fighting and realizing, no, this isn't your final destiny. Hey, remember, dips come to all of us, but don't build your house there. Naaman began to realize, I have fight inside of my soul. I'm going to do something about my future. I will not accept this as my final destination. Number three, manage expectations in the dip. You can't let your expectations drive you away from your God-given breakthrough. So finally, Naaman decides that he's going to go to Elijah, the prophet. Elijah had a reputation. He was a legend. He had double the anointing that his mentor, Elijah, had given him. He had the reputation of raising people from the dead. The reputation of miraculous things happening through his hand. Everybody in Israel knew that there was a prophet in Israel that heard the voice of God. And so Naaman, like many of us do, he imagined how he would go to Elijah. And he began to paint a picture in his mind, an expectation of how he was going to be healed, of how he would get out of the dip. And in his mind, he was going to dress in his royal robes, his military outfit, the finest of the finest. His medals would be showing. He would be riding on his most glorious white horse. His troops would be behind him. And they would march up to the house of Elijah. And he would say to Elijah, "It's Naaman. I'm here." And he imagined that Elijah the prophet would come out and say, "Oh, what an honor to have Naaman here. Come to me, Naaman." And that he would wave his hand over that spot of leprosy and call upon the Lord, and that Naaman would be immediately healed in front of all of his soldiers, and that Naaman would say, "Thank you," and walk away a new man. He had it in his mind. He had a picture of what he expected it to look like. How many of you know your expectation is not always what God will do? And sometimes you can paint a picture that's not God's picture because God is sovereign and God doesn't follow your advice. God follows his own plan. And sometimes when we have our own picture of how God is going to liberate us, how God is going to take us out of the dip, and it doesn't look like that in reality, we can become angry, resentful, discouraged, and disappointed when it doesn't look like the way we envisioned it looking like. And so the Bible says that Naaman got there, and so Naaman went with his horses, it says in verse 9, with his horses and chariots, and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, I envisioned... In my mind, the picture that I saw, that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and that he would wave his hand on the spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not the rivers of Abana and Pipar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I just wash them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Let me tell you, this is very important for you to understand. When our expectation of what God should do does not match the reality of what God is doing, sometimes we become angry and disappointed. When it takes longer, when it's harder, when we don't see it happening, we start thinking, God, you're not answering my prayer. Now, here's the thing. God was answering his prayer, but not in the way he thought he was going to answer his prayer. God doesn't always answer your prayer the way you envision it. Sometimes God answers the prayer in a way you've never imagined. And some of us reject the answer of prayer that God has given us because it's not the way we envisioned it. You say, well, I've been praying for a man, Pastor. I've been praying for a godly man. I've been praying for... I can see him in my eye right now. He's 6'2", square jaw, full hair of hair, blue eyes. Goes to the gym a lot. I can see that in my eyes now. And driving that car. And he's going to ask me out. And I could see it right now. Pastor, I've been praying for that man. And then he shows up, and he's 5'1", and a little chunky, but he loves Jesus. Hey, and you had this picture? God, give me a man. Lord, when is he going to come? God, I can't believe you. Hey, quiet, stop asking me out. God, give me that man. Lord, I'm waiting for that man. Quiet now, stop it. I'm looking for a man. Hey, hello? You see, you have an expectation that you have the way it's supposed to be. And some of us, God is answering a prayer, not the way we envisioned it, but the way that God wants it to happen. And sometimes we're not accepting the way that God wants it to happen because it's not the way we saw it in our mind's eye. Naaman felt like God was going to come through Elijah the prophet and wave his hand over him. You know, I have some people as a pastor that want to do that as well. Pastor, I'm having marital trouble. Man, my wife. Pastor, there's got to be a demon cast out of that woman. You drag her to the altar and you say, Pastor, could you wave your hand over her? I pray over her. Could we get our best intercessors? Just pray whatever thing has gotten a hold of her. Just wave the hand over her and that her heart would be changed. And I say, okay, I'll pray for you, but I'm going to pray for you and tell you to go get marital counseling. No, I don't want marital counseling. You see, you just want the wave over. But you don't want to put any work into it. You wanted to change immediately, but you don't want to have to go through counseling. You don't want to have to deal with the issues. You don't want to have to humble yourself. You want magic, spiritual magic. You want it to be immediate. You want it to be now. You don't want to go through the humility and the process and the waiting and the difficulty because you didn't envision it that way. I'll never forget when I first went to preach. I was in college at the time, and I had had a ministry. They called it Practical Christian Ministry, and I was teaching little kids on the south side of Chicago. These kids were wild. It took me a long time to have kids after working with those kids. Boy, they were like on desk, and I was just trying to manage them, and I was supposed to be able to handle these kids, and they were handling me, let me tell you. On the south side of Chicago, and I'm just trying to manage this thing. And the next semester, they said, we're going to give you, the college I was going at, the theological college said, we're going to give you a preaching assignment. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You just liberated me from Sunday school. And so I said, great. They saw it. I'm ready to preach. I'm preparing for that. It's my time. And I said, where am I preaching? What church? They said, oh, no, it's not a church. There's a senior citizens retirement center on Fullerton. And they need someone to preach on Sunday afternoon. And I said, all right, it's not a church, but... And I could envision what would happen. I just pictured that there would be 150 people with their King James Bible open and ready for this young preacher to deliver the word, and that they would be eager and listening. Oh, what a great point, Pastor. Yeah, that's good. I want to learn. And I envision that they would be mesmerized by the great teaching that would come from this. And so I showed up. The service was supposed to start at 11 o'clock in the old folks' home, and the auditorium didn't look anything like it looked like in my mind. It was like a mess hall, not an auditorium. And it was almost 11 o'clock when the service was supposed to start. And so I asked the lady in charge at the desk. I said, hey, what time is service supposed to start? She said, 11. I said, well, it's 5 to 11. Where is everybody?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Seven Dips Away, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Fighting for Your Destiny. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 27. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Seven Dips Away.
She said, oh, son, come over here. She said, they don't just show up. You got to go get them. I said, get them as in. She said, oh, yeah, you got to wheel some people in here. You got to walk some people over here. Some of them can't even get over here, young man. That's part of your job. And I'm like, well, that's not the way I envisioned it. So I spent the first half hour wheeling people over there, walking guys over there, bringing people, waking people up. Finally, I had my little motley crew of not 150, but about 40 to 50. And before I even started the message, I hadn't even spoken yet, and there was a guy snoring in the back. I could... They weren't sitting there with their Bibles open waiting for the wisdom to ooze out of my lips. They were falling asleep, talking to each other. One guy was kind of jumping in the background, and I know it wasn't the Holy Spirit making him jump. He was just jumping. He just had a jumping inside of him, just kind of jumping. And I looked and I said, this looks nothing like my expectation, Lord. This is not how I envisioned it. There was one little guy. I finally thought, well, one positive guy. He had a smile on his face like this. He'd shuffle around. And the nurse said, watch that guy. I thought, he looks harmless. He looks like a nice old man, just like this, smiling around. And we had our moody student girls singing there with their long flowing dresses and gone. And right at the beginning of the worship, I heard one of them go, ouch. And he had kind of come around, pinched her in her rear end, this the nice little smiley guy like this. So we had to kind of usher him over to the corner, keep him to the side there. And I got up to preach. And it was not what I expected. Not what I envisioned, but it's exactly what I needed. I needed to learn what it meant to stand beside a woman that hadn't walked in years and hadn't had visitors in months. And look into her eyes and just listen to her talk and just love her in Jesus' name. I needed to learn what it meant to show compassion to people that maybe their mind was still slipping, but needed someone to hug them and just love on them in Jesus' name. I needed to learn that ministry was about compassion and mercy and shepherding and loving and caring. I needed to learn that, hey, this is not about you, young preacher. This is about people that God loves. The best experience to prepare me for ministry. I thank God that he took me through that. Best preparation for ministry that I ever received. Well, I know I got a couple degrees, but let me tell you, the practical degree that I got at that old folks' home measured up to the diplomas that I have on a wall. You have an image of how it should work out. You have an expectation of how God is going to get you out of the dip. But sometimes God will answer your prayer in a way that you did not anticipate, yet it's the center of his will. And some of us are rejecting the answer to our prayer, the way out of the dip that teaches us deep inner soul lessons. Naaman was about to reject his opportunity for healing because it came in a package that he did not like. So make sure, as God is working in your life, that you manage the expectations in the dip. Number four, be ready to dip in the dip. Now, let me explain that. You see, you must accept that the road to victory is won by the most humbling steps of obedience. So Naaman was about to walk away. No, I'm not going to dip myself in a river. I'm not going to humiliate myself. I want a victorious, dramatic healing. I don't want a humbling way out of my mess. And finally, Naaman had some good friends around him. Thank God for good friends that can talk some sense into us when we're making bad decisions. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more when he tells you just wash and be clean?" Some of us are more inclined to pursue the great things than we are to obey in the small things. You say, "Pastor, if God told me I'd sell everything, leave everything, go to Africa and work with those little orphan children, that's where my heart is at. Just tell me, Lord, and I'm going." Well, hey, can you serve in the nursery this Sunday, Pastor? The nursery? Oh, no, not me. Well, hold on. You want to go to Africa and hold babies in Africa, but you can't hold a baby in the nursery one Sunday out of the month? Come on now. Because we're inclined to think that we'll do great things, but sometimes God takes us to the little things that are difficult for us to obey in. And so Naaman's servants reminded him, "Hey, if you were to do a great thing, the prophet were to ask you to win a battle, you would have gone out and fought the battle. But all he's asked you to do is to humble yourself and wash yourself in the river. Sometimes the hardest things to do are the things that require humility on our part. See, fighting a battle gives me praise and pride. Dunking myself in a river 7 times is a bit humiliating. We want to do those things that people admire, but it's hard for us to do those things that humble ourselves. Yet Scripture is very clear about this, that God gives more grace, that means favor, to the humble. But God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. I believe that when Naaman finally came to his senses, he realized, how can I go? He battled with this whole step of obedience, and he came to the Jordan River. By the way, the same river that hundreds of years later, Jesus would be baptizing his disciples in. The very same river that John the Baptizer would be discipling and that Jesus would go into hundreds of years later, the Jordan. Naaman goes to the Jordan River, and I can almost see his platoon a little embarrassed for him. You know, when someone's embarrassed, you kind of feel like you don't want to look, you don't want to watch. And so he walks into the river and they just kind of turn back, and I can see Naaman humbling himself. The very thing that he despised, now he's doing. Some of us are only 7 dips away from the new chapter that God is calling us to, but we're miles away because of our pride from doing the things that God has called us to do in obedience. Just 7 dips. So he dips himself 1 time, and I can see him come out grumbling. I don't see any changes. It's dirty water, nasty. Dips himself again. And again, his friends are looking on. He's probably grumbling the whole time. This better work. You guys convince me. This doesn't work. I got your heads. 1 more time. The 7th time. As he's about to grumble and complain, see, I said it wouldn't work. The Bible says the spot that he had turned immediately like the skin of a young child. It's the power of God. See, I see a bigger lesson here. I see the fact that some people that have been scarred and broken and ruined, and you think I could never come back to wholeness, God has the power, the regenerating power, to take even a broken, calloused heart and make it like the heart of a child. God can restore that which has been broken and bruised and trodden down. God can restore a heart of fervency again. He can renew a heart that believes God again. God has that power. And Naaman came out a 7th time, having humbled himself, and immediately, he was only 7 dips away from a new chapter. 7 dips away from what God had called him to do. 7 dips away from pursuing his purpose, getting back on track with his call. He was only 7 dips away, but those 7 dips were one of the hardest battles he ever fought in life, because they required a sense of humbling himself before God and humbling himself before others. But without those 7 dips, he would have walked away still a leper. He would have died without fulfilling his vision. He would have withered away on the bed of sickness, clenching his fist to the heavens, wondering why God had not had allowed him to go through it. But he was only 7 dips away.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Fighting for Your Destiny. And tonight was the second half of his message called 7 Dips Away. Join us again tomorrow for part 2, Step into Your Next Phase. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. And on behalf of Pastor Mark and myself, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to having you back tomorrow. God bless.